I'll be reading Psalm 51 on the back of your devotionals. Psalm 51, a prayer for restoration. For the choir director, a Davidic psalm, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone to Bathsheba. Be gracious to me, God, according to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion, blot out my rebellion. Wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sin, for I am conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. So you are right when you pass sentence. You are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was guilty when I was born. I was sinful when my mother conceived me. Surely you desire integrity in the inner self, and you teach me wisdom deep within. Purify me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Turn your face away from my sins, and blot out all my guilt. God, create a clean heart for me, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me and give me a willing spirit. Then I will teach the rebellious your ways and sinners will return to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. You are not pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. God, you will not despise a broken and humbled heart. In your good pleasure, cause Zion to prosper. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. May God bless that reading of his word.
So we're going to pick our way through this 51st Psalm. Written by David, the greatest prayer of repentance. And just so that we can step back and catch our breath a little bit, do you remember my 3 points about the attributes of God? In case you don't, let's review. Number one, our standing with God is based on what? Our attributes or his? His attributes. That is foundational to this understanding of this study. Our standing with God depends on his attributes. Number two, we need to access those attributes then. And our access to those attributes is dependent on repentance and prayer. And number three, our repentance and our praying is dependent on knowing the attributes. And knowing in the biblical sense. Confidence, faith, and belief. You won't pray and you won't repent if you don't have confidence, faith, and belief in the attributes of God. Nebuchadnezzar was the first king that we looked at. He was warned. He had a remembrancer come to him. You better get your life straight. And he told him, Daniel, and remember the observer in Nebuchadnezzar's dream? There was an observer, a holy one, came down and spoke to Nebuchadnezzar in the dream, and he said the same thing, get your life straightened out. And Nebuchadnezzar didn't believe it. He didn't have confidence, faith, and belief in the attributes of God, and therefore he did not repent and he did not pray. Here we look at David, the other king. He sins, like Nebuchadnezzar sinned, same thing. They both became sovereign in their lives. They both became the God, small g, of their lives. And the difference is, we find, is that David had a visceral belief, confidence, knowledge in the attributes of God. The attributes of God and knowing them and having confidence in them does not necessarily stop you from sinning. We learned that here with David. David knew the attributes of God. The anointed king, God rescued him countless times from the clutches of Saul, remember? David was very aware of the attributes of God. But what the attributes of God do for you and me, what it brings is you will repent and you will pray. What we just this morning during our prayer request, and specifically what Ellis said, is we look at the attributes of God and we look at our standing with God as salvific, as that which saves us, okay? We have to have good standing with God, and it's based on his mercy and his compassion and his justice and his unfailing love and his being slow to anger. We look at that as that's what's going to save us and get us into the kingdom. But what I want to tease out of this somewhat is accessing the attributes of God is the way to manage your life. Day by day, moment by moment, it is how you manage our lives. And we'll see that here with David. You know, I read Revelation this morning. Revelation 21 and 22. Read that often. I would encourage you to do that. And here's the redeemed. And the New Jerusalem descends from the heavenly realm. And there is such, let me tell you something, and this is what we're going through right now has just accentuated this for me, and maybe for you, maybe you'll relate to this. When that happens on that day, there will be such a shout that such as the world has never heard. There will be such a shout from God's people. Because what we will finally get and what I will happily hand over to God, and you will happily hand over to God, is now the governance is finally on his shoulders. Our lives are now under his control completely. We no longer have the rod and the staff of the oppressor on us that tells us that we have to be sovereign. There will be a shout of exultation and joy that will rock the heavens because we will understand. You know, I think that's why, in my theology, why the fall occurred. I think that explains sin to me. I think it explains, this is just Tim Davis's theology. I think it's why God allowed the fall in Genesis 3. Because if God is sovereign, and he is, why didn't he just step in and stop the fall? Why didn't he? Because I'll tell you, my theology says this. We need to learn, as a species, the mess that occurs when we are God. You see this? You see, without this experience in a fallen world, without the things that you're going through that we heard about in the prayer request, and the things that we are going through, When man is sovereign, and when the attributes of fallen man are what governs the world, we need to see that. Otherwise, God's sovereignty and God's attributes don't speak to me. What about you? Are you tracking? Does this make sense to you? You see, if you haven't seen the other side of the tapestry, the flip side doesn't mean anything to you. We're looking at the other side of the tapestry right now, where all the threads are bare and all the threads are uneven and everything is looking pretty bad. See, unless you see that, unless we understand how far we fall in our ability to run even our own lives, the consummated kingdom will not mean anything to us. But certainly, I'll tell you, I'll speak for myself, I will be leading that shout. Won't that be a glorious day? When we say and we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God now in his sovereign rule will be taking care of everything, that our Lord and Master Jesus of Nazareth will have the governance on his shoulders. Moment by moment, this is significant for God's people. Moment by moment, day by day, situation by situation, circumstance by circumstance, it is important for we as God's people to get this concept straight. I thought of Jesus and contrasted that, you know, pathetically so, with the situation that we're going through. Nothing like that. I know that. But I remember when they came at Jesus and they accused him falsely. Remember everything. They threw every false accusation at him, and what did he do? He did not revile against them. He simply allowed God to be sovereign. He allowed the attributes of God to take over and rule in that situation. And I am telling you, that is so hard to do. The amount of trust that it takes out of us to do that, to step back and do that. But again, Jesus knew the attributes of God. Jesus had confidence, faith, and belief in those attributes. And here's David. Nathan comes to David. Nathan's the remembrancer. David immediately repents. He said, I've sinned against God. And then he pens this powerful psalm, which we will not get through today. We will get through some of it today. I am not going to rush through this because the Holy Spirit has opened this up to me in a powerful way. Verse 1, Psalm 51. I think this can be helpful for some of us. No? I think this is helpful for all of us, actually. Be gracious to me, God. Why? According to your attributes. Right out of the gate, David proves the step one of my theory. Our standing with God is based on his attributes, not ours. David is asking God to be gracious with him, not based on anything David has to offer, believe me, and David knows that right now. Simply based on the attributes of God. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Be gracious to me, God, for one reason. According to your faithful love, according to your abundant compassion. What does David know about God that makes him say this? His attributes. David knows confidence, faith, and belief in God's attributes. Stop trying to earn God's gracious compassion and presenting to God your resume. our righteousness to God is meaningless. And David knows that. What does David know about these attributes? What does he know that they can and will do if accessed? I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge myself. I'm going to access the attributes of God because I know they can do something. Because my attributes, in a situation that I shared with you, are woefully pathetic. And they'll only make it worse. David employed his attributes, didn't he, earlier on? And it made the situation infinitely worse. It went into total meltdown. But now, only, and listen, only after this grievous sin of David and the employment of his attributes in this sin, only after that does David get it. Why do we live in a fallen world? Why sin? For exactly this reason. What does David know about these attributes, and what can and will they do if he accesses them, if they are employed in his life? Blot out. These attributes, David says, they can blot out my rebellion. They can wash away my guilt. You need any of that? They can cleanse me from sin. David wants to expose his attributes, rebellion, guilt, and sin. You see that? Those are David's attributes, rebellion, guilt, and sin. And David wants to expose his attributes to God's attributes. Do you see the power of God's attributes here? What they're able to do? When you employ them in your life, employ them in a situation, blot out, wash away, and cleanse. God's attributes trump yours. The worst of yours. The worst of mine. The worst of David's. If those are taken and David exposes those things to God's attributes are able to work and be employed. You see, David is demonstrating Hebrews 11:6 is impossible to please God without faith. Because whoever comes to God must first believe that he exists. Well, David does believe that. And then secondly, the author says, also he has to believe that God will reward those who approach him. Take it to God. Take it to him. Expose it to his attributes. Because his attributes are able to do exceedingly more than we ever could do, and David knows that. Israel gets into Baal worship, becomes idolaters. Remember that in Hosea? And God says to Israel, the way out of this mess, the way I'm going to fix this, the way I'm going to help you is that I'm going to marry you. I'm going to marry you. And I'm going to bring my attributes to bear on that. I'm going to bring my attributes into your life, Israel, because you've made a mess of things. God is precisely the attributes that he is. Well, watch this one. God is precisely the attributes that he is because those are precisely the attributes that we need. Wow. Say that again, Tim. Okay, I will. Okay. We tease out those attributes of God by our need. Oh, I love that. God's attribute of mercy and compassion and love are just words unless they intersect someone who needs them. That was even better. God is who he is because of who we are. Too much? Yeah, I debated whether to even go down that road. I thought, that's maybe... But that's how my mind is. I think that way. Wash, blot out, wash, and cleanse. Because I know your attributes are able to do that. Now, how does David access those attributes? Do you want to access those attributes this week? Blot, cleanse, wash. Verse 3. How does he access those attributes? Prayer and repentance. He says, God, in verse 3, the only reason I'm coming to you with this, and the only reason I'm asking you to do this, and the only reason I want you to employ your attributes here is because I'm conscious of my rebellion. You see, God makes us aware of our sin to lead us to repentance. Satan makes us aware of our sin to cloak us with it. See the difference? Both want us to be aware of our sin, but for completely different reasons. Verse 3 happens in David's life because Nathan had the guts to go to him. Take Nathan and the remembrance of Nathan out of the picture. David's not writing this psalm because he's not aware of his sin. This is only post-remembrancer. This is a prerequisite for repentance. I'm conscious of my rebellion, and my sin is always before me. It's right here for David. Why does David do this? Why does David repent? Why does David pray? Only one reason. He has confidence, faith, and belief in the attributes of God. He knows. He knows the power of exposing his rebellion, his guilt, and his sin to God's attributes, and fully expects God to blot out, wash away, and cleanse. Verse 3, David is saying, I'm conscious of my rebellion, and I'm conscious of that only because I understand your attributes. Compare yourself to a holy God. Compare your attitudes to a holy God. Compare the way you would govern a situation and your attributes to what God would do. And David says, I need your attributes. Now, there are situations that you're all dealing with. Well, I heard this morning. Not David's situation, but you have situations. Let me rock your world. If you are dealing with those as a sovereign and you're employing your attributes, it's sin. It's absolutely sin. Because you have chosen to be sovereign. That is idolatry. You've become your God. And you're going to employ your attributes. Repent of that. Prayer. Bring it to God. Repent. And you will watch his attributes come in and wash and blot and cleanse. See that? Well, it's not really sin. I'm just handling this thing. It's not really sin. Yes, it is. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I need this. Oh boy. You see, that's the thing about God with me. You know, he brings these things that make me apply what the Spirit has taught me. And I usually hate it. But that's exactly what's going on. And I have to be conscious of my rebellion. Because my rebellion is, I want to swoop in and be sovereign. And that's rebellion. Therefore, being aware of my sin, David being aware of his sin, the prerequisite for repentance is I need to be conscious and aware of the depth of my rebellion against him being sovereign, against him being God, capital G. You can distill this down into your life, into day by day, moment by moment circumstances. I am telling you, God's people, this is a way to manage your life. God comes to Israel through Hosea, and he says, your attributes have made a mess of things. And look, what does he say? Hosea 4. Cursing, lying, murder, stealing, and adultery are rampant. One act of bloodshed follows another, God says. And then verse 3 in Hosea 4, he says, for this reason the land mourns, and everyone who lives in it languishes, along with the wild animals and the birds of the sky, even the fish of the sea disappear. Moment by moment, your land has to plug into this Hosea verse. Day by day, you want to manage your life effectively under the auspice of the sovereignty of God? Conversely, God says through Hosea, when he says, I'm going to marry you, and I'm going to bring my attributes to you, I'm going to bring righteousness. I'm going to bring justice. I'm going to bring love. I'm going to bring compassion. I'm going to bring mercy and slow to anger. I'm going to bring those to you. And then look what God says, the promise that he gives. In Hosea, this is chapter 2, verse 21. He says, on that day. Boy, there's the big move, isn't it? To relinquish your sovereignty. To get rid of your attributes. Now listen, I know some of you need this. I need it. And on that day, when the marriage between me and God is clicking, and his attributes have taken over like they did for David here, God says, I'll respond to the sky, and it will respond to the earth. The earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and the oil. Your land needs some responding. In other words, it'll go well for you. Well, it might not be what you think, and it might not turn out the way you want, but again, you see, that's the sovereignty thing. Is this? Yeah? Thanks, Dave. That's the sovereignty struggle. But God makes it crystal clear. Let go. Put the governance back on my shoulders where it was always meant to be. Get the rod and the staff of that oppressor off of you. Stop being the darkness, people. And you will find out. Did Jesus find this out? Oh, yes, he did. Up from the grave with a triumphant victor over his foes. He arose with victory from the dark domain. Why? Because God's attributes trumped any attributes that we could possibly employ in the most difficult circumstance of our lives. David's learned this. And David now very much wants to expose his attributes to God's attributes. Let's pray. Lord, I trust that is what you wanted. Amen.